The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good. What is today? Thursday. Wednesday. Today's Wednesday. Oh, that's right. It's PLO day. I'm going. Are you going? Potlum in Omaha, Prime Social.
I got a dinner reservation at 6, and I'd probably still be in the tournament then, so I can't go.
Well, there's a good shot you're not going to be in it, but okay. All right. But if you can't see it all the way out, then there's no reason to go.
I mean, it starts at 1, so the tournaments are ending. Yes. Although the structure, they changed the structure of their blinds.
Not this one.
Oh, they did.
This one's the same. But Prime Social today. We're going to be there on Friday, as a matter of fact. And we'll play on Friday. If you're looking for a 10,000 guaranteed, that's where you're going to come and hang with us. But
I wasn't that great in the last one.
You weren't? Didn't do that?
No.
Thing. No.
We won't do soccer talk very long, but I mean,
Dell,
we're going to talk poker very long.
We're going to start with poker.
You know how you should have been in.
How's your show now?
You know how you should have been in, and you weren't. And
yes.
You watch it win big,
yes.
And then from that point on, you're just damaged.
Pretty much
yeah,
done.
You're just damaged
yeah,
after
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You realize, wow, I would have taken three people's whole stacks.
Yes.
I would have just quadrupled my stack.
If I had just put in that little bit, but I said, nah.
Oh, I folded without seeing one more card.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that happens all the time. I was at the Astros last night, and I got to tell you, I'm pretty sure I have, because I've been watching baseball a long time. I'm pretty sure I've seen a ball hit harder than Yordan hit that ball. But
By who? Yordan? You mean Yordan a few weeks ago when he hit it 490 in the third deck, they robbed him of with the computer?
That's stupid. And I'm pretty sure that one is in the top three of all time that I've seen. I mean, when it left the bat, it was a rocket, dude. It was a rocket. He is and he's, you know what? He went through a little lull like we talked about. You know, you're going to have these little lulls, and, you know, that's just baseball.
He stayed over 300. And
he's hitting 316.
Yeah.
He's hitting 316 for a half a season. Guess what? I'm going to tell you this. And can we hear Verlander super team? When asked about winning another 100 games, which they haven't yet. They've got 99. They're one win away from winning 100 games. Here's what Justin Verlander had to say.
Yeah, it's impressive. There's no secret. We have a super team here. To win 100 games is not easy to do, and we've kind of made it look easy, even battling through some injuries. So, I mean, that's just a testament to all of our guys. You can't win 100 games without having good role players. You need the superstars to play well, as Jim Leland always reminded us in spring training. If we're going to win, our superstars need to play well. But you can't be this good of a team without everybody being good and contributing and helping the team on their given night or whatever role they're asked to do, to fill.
That can't be more true. And man, you want to talk about the superstars? There's a lot of talk about Bregman right now, and Verlander had a quote about Bregman as well. He said all eyes are on him now. All eyes are on him. Trout's hurt. No, sorry, Mr. Trout. We know how good you are. But now these last 2 weeks, Alex Bregman is still here. And Alex Bregman is going to continue to put up numbers. And he crushed one as well. The ball just jumps off his bat. That little fella right in front of Yordan is kind of funny. That's your cleanup hitter. And then Yordan comes up. That little fella comes up and he crushes the ball. And he's absolutely right. So your OPS is Yordan is 1092. And this is a big enough sample size with 282 at bats now where it's not, well, you know, it's basically a half a season though. Bregman has 521 at bats. He's over 1,000 now OPS. His OPS is over 1,000. He went in at 994 last night. His OPS is over 1,000.
Okay, can I play a little game called Things I Heard on Other Radio Shows? And see what you think and see what Dell thinks. Yeah, Dell. You don't have to shake your head disappointingly. Like,
no, we had our text string, and Dell and I were both disappointed with you two coming in with takes from other shows, and we're like, what's wrong with you?
This is literally the first time I've heard these other shows. I haven't heard these shows, and I was like, now I'm not probably not going to listen anymore because I was getting mad. I was like, how is this allowed to be on the air? One of them is not outlandish. It's just no way, like, there's no way in hell it happens. And that one is Bregman deserves the MVP over Mike Trout.
That, you know, it's not going to happen, and we can wish it and want it.
You can have a discussion.
You can, yeah, but it's going to be Trout.
But Trout is just head and shoulders.
And Trout is the best player of our era. That's not even close.
That's amazing that you're saying that, and he's still in his flat in his 20s.
Well, we're watching Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
We really are.
We are.
He's almost got identical numbers to Mickey
Mantle. Because he's not on a great team, he's kind of getting buried. And it's crazy because you think, well, it's all about the coast. It's all about East Coast and West Coast. Well, he's on the West Coast team.
Yeah.
But it's not the right one. You know, for the Dodgers, it might be different.
Oh, my God.
But it's he's just kind of toiling. I don't want to say in anonymity, but they're his wasting, personality.
You know, we talk about that with Deshaun is wasting the best years of his life. They're wasting the best year, the most unbelievable years with Mike Trout and for nothing. Nothing. They get nothing out of it.
So that was one thing. The other thing I heard was, it was just another show just said that the Texans should go all in and trade two more first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey so that you wouldn't have a pick until 2024. So now 2022 and 2023 should go for the disgruntled cornerback. When Marcus Peters brought a third and a fifth, two first should go. Despite the fact, I guess, that the idea that the Jaguars trading to a team in the division didn't cross their mind as being something that absolutely will never happen.
Well, he would. They would do it. They'd say, yeah. Oh,
if they were to that.
You give them two first-rounders, and they'd say, okay, you can have them.
So here's a little inside scoop. Jalen Ramsey, and I don't know if this is public yet. I don't think there's any stories on this yet. The two teams to look for are the L.A. Chargers and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, two teams have offered first-rounders.
So they hadn't said who?
Nope.
Those are the two. It's Philadelphia and the L.A. Chargers. Philadelphia is offering a first, but they want them to take Ronald Darby, too, in his contract. And Jacksonville's like, nah, we'll take Sidney Jones. Mm. And Philadelphia's like, nah, you have Ronald Darby? And they're like, he actually makes more than Sidney Jones, so
Everybody's saying nah.
Nah, but I think it's going to happen. I think Philadelphia is the odds-on choice. But the Chargers are in the mix, too, because the Chargers' thoughts are, we can get Jalen in here, and Derwin will get back the same year. Jalen played with Gus Bradley. Really liked Gus Bradley when Gus was in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, and he's friends with, and he's tight with Derwin James. Mm-hmm. So the Chargers are like, we're not worried about crazy Jalen or angry Jalen or whatever. He's not crazy. He's just kind of a malcontent. We've got some sound from his press conference yesterday, which... Jacksonville let him have a press conference to tell everybody that he wanted to get traded. Or no, I take it back. That's not what he said. He answered questions exactly like he was Bill O'Brien.
There was one thing that was interesting in his press conference was that he said it was the team and not him and his people that leaked. Mm-hmm. That leaked that he wanted
trade
to be
request.
Traded.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think he's false there.
No.
I can see the team wanting to do it.
Yeah.
Team's probably over him, and they wanted it out there, too.
Yeah, no. The teams won. I guess they wanted it out there so that they're like, you know what's a lot easier than calling every team? Just telling the media that he wants out.
That's true.
That is true.
That's true. And Jalen has handled it actually very well. He hasn't. Even his press conference yesterday, he didn't slander anybody. Now, when he is traded, all bets are off.
Well, but what's the dumbest thing about this is that Doug Marrone hasn't even talked to him yet.
No, I think it's because they are certain they're doing a deal. And as a matter of fact, I would guess that it could go down by the end of this week.
By the end of this week? They play Thursday.
I don't know that he's going to...
They play tomorrow.
Actually, you know what? There is a chance. I still don't know that he's going to play this week.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to play with Jacksonville.
No?
No. But the Chargers feel like... I don't know what their offer is. But he's going to bring a one... and either I mean, he's going to bring a one and maybe one other player, one other cornerback. And if they don't get that, maybe two draft picks. So I would say look for the Chargers, which means the Texans could be could see him on D-Hop again. I mean, if a trade went down today, I think it's reasonable to expect that Jalen Ramsey could be guarding DeAndre Hopkins again this week. I think it's reasonable.
Yeah.
Or he could be with Philadelphia, and if that happens, you know, you really have to look. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd be looking to the Eagles and the Cowboys as maybe the two favorites in the NFC, along with the Rams.
Yeah, but we talked about it. With the Cowboys, what are you going to give up, and how are you going
to
pay?
No, the Cowboys, the favorites to move forward in, you know, Super Bowl wise, to move forward in the NFC.
Not
the Cowboys can't trade for them.
No, they can't.
They just don't have the money. They spent all their money.
Your team can't do that.
Well, we saw
how you were pining for them, though. I saw a lot of tweets you with a Cowboys hat.
I don't
on.
Like that. Was something
Dale,
I had
did you
to
see
do.
That or not?
That was something I had to do.
Yeah, I did find interesting that Cowboy fan worked in the Cowboys again when we were talking about.
I'm not
that.
A Cowboy fan.
Well, it's almost
you wore
like
a hat. I'm not a Cowboy fan. I had to wear the hat.
You chose to.
No. That's the hat you chose to wear.
You didn't have to wear it.
It's a bunch of garbage.
Yeah. No. Thunder sticks.
Do the Cowboys have thunder sticks?
Well,
at Jerry
I mean,
World?
Is he, don't they bang on the thing?
I mean, he's calling them the NFC favorite.
Yeah.
And crowbarring them in the conversation.
Yeah. How about that?
You, Crystal and Lazy J, Cowboy fan.
Here's the thing. I just try to be as honest as I can about evaluations. I don't have to try to sit there and like, yay team go. And we've been getting in trouble for it lately.
Well, guess what, then?
Two people, Lamont yesterday said that Bill O'Brien had his finger in our booty like an LSU fan, and he thinks that we were just really being super friendly and kind to him.
Two other people thought
we were the biggest Texans haters. I'm not Texans hater. I just want something done right. Yeah. You know what? You had kids. Yeah, your kids are your empty nest now. But I mean, is there anything worse? Like my dad used to stay pissed at us about
better
stupid
than being
stuff.
Empty nest?
Is there anything worse than kids? That's your question?
No, that's not the question, Dell.
It kind of is.
That's not the question.
Well, it kind of is.
The question is there anything worse than when things never get done the right way? Like my wife always claims that I don't do a good job of cleaning.
She's probably right.
She's right.
No, her standards are bad. And you know what? Maybe my standards for the Texans are too high. Maybe they're doing great.
Which would be shocking, considering your standards are far too low with everything else.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking, they say 9-7 is not the bar. Okay. Well, then I trust you on that.
I want to trust Oops Steam Cleaning right now. That's what I want to trust. I want to trust my peeps over there. I'm going to tell you what.
I got to get them on porcelain.
You do.
So I got stacking. It's called stacking. I had a guy come over, and he said, I'm to the point where I want to see if this hot steam can take all that stuff off the top layer.
And they've got other equipment as well. So Lance has a real porcelain
degrees.
Problem.
Yeah.
No, he's got the equipment to do that as well, he said.
Yeah.
And I talked to Jason and I talked to Rosie, and they are unbelievable people, and you're going to love doing business with them. And that's a key to the carpet cleaning business, is that you have to trust the people. First of all, trained and background professionals that are going to come in and do a great job, and they're going to leave. They're going to get it done in 45 minutes to an hour on an, you know, average size, couple, three rooms, whatever you're going to do. But the thing is, too, is that they're not going to try to kill you with upsales. They're going to tell you the price before they get there. And if everything is like you said, and all the stains and everything else that you have, then they're going to get that job done, and then they're going to leave and not try to gouge you with all kinds of prices. If you're looking for a carpet cleaning company, oopssteam.com, 281-822-0561. Tell them you heard it right here.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
On Jesus, I had a good night last night out on my patio from Texas Custom Patios. When I said I had a good night, John like looked over. He thought I was going to say something else. But no, actually a good night right now, sitting out on my patio hearing the rain fall down. I love the sound of rain. And I'm sitting there watching a pretty good baseball pitcher with his baseball team win another game and get to 99 wins out on my patio, having a drink and just enjoying life. And the outdoor patio, the outdoor living area that they can build for you at Texas Custom Patios is going to be a new room in your home, only one that is bigger and better, and it's got all the amenities. If you want, they'll put a big screen TV out there, the 4K. They put the speakers in your roof, and you have a great spot to watch your games or to host people or to have your kids outside or for you and your wife or your girlfriend, your friends to just enjoy yourself out on the patio. And at Texas Custom Patios, they build. So what you pay for is what you get, and even more. I mean, their workmanship is unbelievable. And when they say this is the timeline, that's the timeline. That's the cost. That's the cost. Make sure that you go to TexasCustomPatios.com and see their entire process and all their houses, or go see what they did for my backyard at TCPLance.com.
I think it's impressive. You know, obviously, Mr. Trout is incredible, but what Bregman's done this year is also nothing short of incredible, and I think it's really going to come down the last couple weeks. You know, I think all eyes are on him right now. He's got a couple weeks to show what he's capable of, and he's been doing it all year. But I think he shines brightest when the spotlight's on him. So I think he's up for the challenge.
He really does. He really does. That was the quote I was referring to in the first. Now, I started with the OPS until we got a little bit sidetracked there.
I mean, it's going to happen sometime.
You think that sidetrack's going to happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, Yordan and Alex are both over 1,000. So is Greinke with 2 at-bats. He's over 1,000 OPS. He's at 1,000 OPS. George Springer is at 984. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, 964. Jose Altuve, 908. Kyle Tucker, 907. Carlos Correa, 901. Yuli is right there at 900 at 893.
Oh, Yuli, yeah.
Yuli.
You know, honestly.
Michael Brantley, 890.
Does this surprise you at all about Yuli not being over when he was so red hot? Well
he started so slow.
Hold on a second. 1,000 is super hot.
No,
so that's not
even 890 good. Is awesome. No, this is. Oh, he's had an awesome season. I mean, you would never complain about an 890 OPS. This is ridiculous.
No, right. I'm not complaining.
What Justin Verlander was talking about. Robinson Chirinos has an 805 OPS. With what he does behind the plate, he's got 347 at bats, which is more about, I don't know, like 6/10 of a season if he was an everyday player.
Every inning of Justin Verlander this year.
Yes. And that but here's the deal. He has 17 homers, 56 RBIs, and he has a .242 average. When he got here, he is what he is. He's about a .225 hitter. That's what he is. And that's what I figured. Well, when they picked him up, I was like, oh, okay. Well, you picked up a nice .225 catcher. That's great. You know, but he's good behind the plate, whatever. If guys are going to like him. And you know what? With a catcher, it's like that center thing that we were talking about with Nick Martin. If he's smart and he can call out defenses and he can get the offensive lines in the right schemes and everything, and he can call a Mike linebacker and do all those things, well, you're going to put up with it a little bit, I guess. You're going to be the highest paid center in the league. If you play for the Texans, or at least the second highest paid center in the league. So, you know what? That's just fine. Because that's what a catcher does.
Well, Brad Ausmus, all those years.
Yeah, all those years. I mean, when was the last the Astros, when was the last time they had a hitting catcher? But he has exceeded. The big hits that he's come up with, the higher average at .242, and .805 OPS, he drives the ball. He has really, and this is what Justin Verlander, role players playing their roles and doing it well. And that's exactly what Robinson Chirinos has done. And I don't think he's appreciated nearly enough. And last night, a couple more hits. He just is, I mean, I would feel very comfortable if in the playoffs, the eighth hitter comes up in a game situation and it's Robinson Chirinos.
It is. He is one of those rare. He's one of those rare. We saw Machete have a couple of,
And he's fine. Yeah,
he's fine. We saw him have a. You know, every once in a while he can cut loose and hit with some power. But it has been really impressive to see Chirinos. This is what you hated about Osmus is he was a slappy. He was just a give in. He was probably not even going to hit 700 on the OPS half the time. He was a give in at bat, and you had a bunch of give in at bats at the back end of the lineup when you had Osmus, and so it magnified everything. Chirinos is not a give in at bat.
No,
I mean at all.
No, he's come up with some huge hits for this team, game winning hits for this team, and he seems to be hitting a stride again. You know, somebody said, "Well, who's slumping a little bit right now?" Brantley is been,
yeah, Brantley's been quiet.
Brantley's been quiet, and that's fine. You know what? He's got a week and a half to get back.
He's just resting,
and get his swing back. That's fine. Last night was the lineup. Last night was the lineup that you'll
with
see
with Carlos
hitting in the seventh hole.
Yeah,
Carlos in the seventh hole. Where are you going to put him?
It's where he belongs.
That's where he belongs.
Where he belongs right now.
I mean, that you're not putting him ahead of Jordan. You're not putting him ahead of Yuli. I mean, he's got to get paid. He struck out three times last night. He only had one rehab game because Round Rock got swept out of the playoffs. But you know what? He's going to have to work his way back. And for whatever reason, he's taking tonight off. And you would think that they'd want to get – maybe they're worried about him playing back-to-back games.
I think they just want to – take it slow while he works back. That's fine.
Yeah, I guess. But he's not going to play again until Friday because they have Thursday off. So he plays. He's got 2 days off. And that's a tough way to get your swing going.
Hey,
listen. Hey, big ups. First of all, we'll get this Longhorn Scott here. But Jackie, I want to thoughts and prayers because Jackie's poor and he probably lives in a little hut down there. I hope everybody's okay.
In Bolivar Peninsula. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
they had a lot of rain in the south.
No, and I hope Jackie's not dead.
He'll be fine.
Well,
he's resilient.
You don't know if he's dead or not.
He's resilient. I can tell.
But if he's dead, then I feel bad about it.
People are going to think you're being
you feel bad about it?
Ugly.
Well, I feel not really that bad. I mean,
I hope he's actually tweeting the show, or you're a bad person.
If Jackie went missing, there'd be like two people who cared.
Which people?
I mean, Amber, I think, would care, and then Raheel would care.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he's tweeting.
Yeah, Raheel loves Jackie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Those are the only two.
Do they wear Lululemon together? God.
I don't think Jackie's that type of girl, but Raheel's that type of girl.
Yeah, Raheel is.
So they bond over other things.
All right, whatevs. Okay, go find him, Raheel. Go find Jackie if that's what you think is important.
There's a drop of rain.
You're talking about a guy on Twitter people don't even know. He's just some guy
who has
a girl's name. Okay. That's all.
Speaking of
so many people know.
Longhorn Scott is here. Dude, Jackie loves Longhorn
no,
Scott calls.
No, he doesn't.
What's going on, Longhorn Scott?
Hey, guys, quickly, unsolicited little endorsement. I actually called Oops Steam Cleaning the other day. And I told my wife, I go, look, if they get there before I do, and you're talking to them, please do not let them, like, upsell you this and that and beat you over the head. Like, they're going to hustle you hard. So I get there. They did not do that. Like, and then when they did give us a quote, it was, like, ridiculously reasonable. I couldn't have been more pleased and, frankly, a little surprised. Nice. They were awesome. And anyway, I've got a schedule. We're going to have them do some work. So nonetheless, a little plug there for one of your sponsors. But
nice.
The other thing is, that's not a bad thing, right?
No, it's a great thing. Thank you.
Hey, the Texans, and I'll be brief on this. Here's the problem. You could leverage everything. Trade JJ. Trade everything. It doesn't matter what you trade. As long as Bill O'Brien is associated with this football team, and listen, I don't even care about the NFL. I just live in this town. I watch them because it's football. I listen to y'all every morning. And so, therefore, I have some general understanding of what's going on. As long as Bill O'Brien is there, Texans fans, I'm sorry to say it, but y'all are going to just be utterly disappointed every year. It doesn't matter what you trade, how much you give, what you take. It doesn't matter. I'll promise you. They'll never win they'll never do anything beyond what they've done thus far, which is essentially not much of anything. Anyway, would you guys agree or disagree?
I'm torn. I don't know. I don't know. He's going to have a couple more years to get it done, so we'll see. I mean, he's won three division titles. How's that? He's won three division titles. What are you going to do? He ain't going anywhere. You know, so we're stuck with him. That's all.
He hasn't won much, but he's also a jerk, so he's got that going for him. Anyway, so the SEC. Now, this is a serious sort of a topic I want to talk about, right?
SEC.
Every year, Yeah, exactly. All we hear is how the guys in the SEC are all 7 foot tall. They all run a 4.40. They're tougher than nails, et cetera, et cetera. Clearly. And it's not even debatable. The best conference in the country. And then you have facts that dispute that notion, right? But, for instance, last year in the bowl season, Big 12, just because I happen to know more about that, four games between the Big 12 and the SEC, Big 12 goes 3-1. This year, you take a middling team like K-State, who had a pretty bad year last year, right? They go to Starkville. Now, Mississippi State, nobody's saying they're the best team in the conference, but they are, after all, a member of the SEC, right? So, given the opportunity to play some team from a middling punk conference like the Big 12, they should take care of it, right? Tennessee, Florida, I mean, on and on. I think the SEC has three very good teams, and then a couple of meh teams, and then a bunch of garbage. And yet, so the point is, every year we get some measure of proof, evidence, contradictory information, right? That, in fact, maybe the SEC isn't head and shoulders, arguably slam dunk better than every other conference, and yet it just gets brushed away like, well, you're not going to win all the games. Well, you know, it's a book. There's always some BS when it comes to finding evidence that doesn't support this notion, this narrative. Would y'all agree or not?
I believe that the SEC is so top heavy. Yes, that I do believe that.
Answer on the other side, because I actually think there is some stuff that he said that made some sense.
There is.
However, as Stephen A. Smith would say, the top heavy thing does matter.
It does matter.
You're only as good as your best teams.
Yeah. Right.
So we'll get to that here in just.
I want to get to is my hair.
Go ahead.
Have you guys seen it? What? I mean, take a look, Lance. Lance is looking at the top of my head.
Yeah, you see it?
And I saw Fred the other day, by the way, and boy, it is going to fill in really, really nicely. I mean, he needed it up in front, you know, and that, it looks like a natural hairline. It is unbelievable. It's going to take us about 6 months or so, you're going to see, and we'll take pictures of it, and you'll have the before and after, and it's going to be unbelievable. And it's all thanks to Kane Linville and plastic surgery there. And it's not really plastic surgery. All it is, it's neo-grafting. It's not plugs. It's your own hair. They move it from the back of your head. The pain, there's minimal pain. It's easy. It took about 4 hours. It's unbelievable, the process. It really, really is. There are so many guys out there that said they could do this, and it couldn't have been easier and better. Go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com, and see for yourself, and make an appointment. And oh, by the way, you're a 975 listener, so you get a free consultation. It's not free for everybody, so it'll be free for you at 975hair.com.
ESPN 975.
Hey, time to tell you about Gritty, and I got to look. Like, every day I check and see how much energy I consumed the day before, and I've really gotten it where I really understand. I did research with Gritty on what uses the most energy and electricity. I'm on pace right now. I'm actually trending into potentially being under $200 for this month, and it's been a hot month. We've had our 100 degree days, and that's what happens when you have wholesale electricity. If you learn how to handle any of the spikes that you may have, the baseline price is so low, so unbelievably low, and that's what wholesale electricity is. That's why the retailers are out there marking it up and charging you. Well, you can be part of the wholesale energy crew by simply paying $10 a month for your membership fee, and you get unlimited access to wholesale energy as much as you want. There's no restrictions. There's no gimmicks. There's no contract. If you're not completely satisfied with Gritty, switch. There's no hidden fees. There's no markups, just the big savings. Text Lance to 797979, and Gritty is going to give you your first month of membership fee absolutely free. That's Lance to 797979, and you can be part of the wholesale energy movement. That's Gritty. Make sure you text Lance to 797979. Message and data rates may apply.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right.
Let's answer that question.
Well, first of all, Bill O'Brien, we didn't answer that question. And I I am still torn. I know Lamont. We're honks for Bill O'Brien. I'm still torn because there are some good points about Bill O'Brien and what he's done so far and winning.
The one caller
divisions.
Made a really good point.
Yeah,
yesterday.
I mean, he really hasn't had the talent that New England has or Kansas City has. Or now he's not schematically, he's not anywhere close to Andy Reid. Certainly not the brain trust that the Patriots have. It's not even close. I mean, it's like. And the organization is just a mess. The way that they go about things, it is. And Bill O'Brien needs to be blamed for that too, because he's so power hungry. He's become so power hungry that he has to do everything, and he's screwing it up. He's screwing it up mightily with these trades that are mortgaging the future while you really don't have a present. I mean, that's the problem. You're mortgaging the future without a present.
Yeah, and that's going to come up. The credit card spending is going to. I know fans, the one who I'm here to watch. So I started writing a sports map article. I was 1,300 words in the day that Tunsil was traded. I'm like, this is stupid. I need to do a video or something. And the point I made was there's two kinds of fans. There is the, and neither one is a bad kind of fan. One is the, I'm here for today. That's what I'm here for. I want to know the 53-man roster, and I want my Sundays to be better. And that's fine. And that's a lot of season ticket holders. Hey, we're paying for this product. We want to have the best chance. We want to go for it now. You know, we want to do something, we want to go for it. Well, and then there's people like me, and I think there are more people who are the former than the latter, who are worried about building towards a sustainable championship level, really the Astros model, which is a sustainable build. And if you want to say, well, it's two different sports, okay, then like the Philadelphia Eagles, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Baltimore Ravens, these teams that don't seem to have long-term drop-offs, they have sustained through a grow your own model, through a draft and grow model. And because I do all the draft stuff and I've studied team building, you know, this is what drives me crazy. When people say, go for it, trade all your first rounders, Daryl Morey would do it. No, he wouldn't. I've talked to Daryl Morey about this. There is a paper in analytics out there that showed, a study that showed general managers, there was really not a lot of difference from team to team with general manager performance over the long haul. The best general managers are the ones who had the most picks. They're the best ones because they had the most opportunities to hit on a player. And they had the most flexibility in any given draft to draft best available or to trade back or to move up. The ones who struggle the most are the ones who trade picks forward. Because they're the ones who are now, you now cannot miss. Like Laramie Tunsil cannot be a miss.
Oh, my God.
He has to be an all-pro.
God forbid somebody, like, he left the game and I was like, oh, my God, you're kidding, right? Because two games
everything
in.
Everything is on one guy.
On one guy. You got three, that's three bodies that you put on one guy, and he better not get hurt. He better produce. He better be a really, really, really good player, and hopefully he is. The second point on Bill O'Brien is the likability thing.
That's the one that hurts him the most.
I really do think so because we asked for calls and we kind of said it jokingly yesterday. We said, okay, somebody make the case for Bill O'Brien. And we were like, who the hell's going to come in here and pine for Bill O'Brien? And we got somebody who did.
We got somebody. We got some other ones who pretended to.
Yeah, pretended to.
And then it
But the point about Bill, and even Longhorn Scott said it, he said, yeah, I just don't, he's a jerk, you know, and It hurts the organization. I honestly think, I mean, if you go the least likable people, the least likable sports figures in this city, Bill O'Brien would have to be there. Bill O'Brien would have to be number one, the least likable. Because everybody I talk, everyone that I talk to would just wish he was a better guy. Just wish, because it's hard to root for people that you honestly, you feel like you just don't like. And the problem with Bill O'Brien is his arrogance and his and how he talks down to everyone, his superiority, when he really doesn't deserve that. Right. He really doesn't deserve, you know, and he's not Belichick, and we keep continuing to say that. But I really think that hurts the organization, and especially since he is now empowered to do everything. He's the supreme being in the organization that – It makes it even worse. It makes it even worse.
So, you know, it's interesting. I had a conversation with Bill O'Brien, kind of brief. He was on the plane sitting behind me, and I was looking at coming back from the combine, and I was looking on my iPad at all the combine results. And it's a big spreadsheet, and it's height, weight, speed, arm length, hand size, all this stuff. He goes, I heard a kind of a chuckle, And I knew Bill O'Brien was behind me, but I didn't know what it was about. Because it's a small plane coming back from Indianapolis to Houston. It's mostly scouts, because San Francisco scout lives here. Mike Martin from Carolina Panthers lives here. There's like three or four scouts that live in Houston, probably more. All of a sudden, I heard, "You really look at that ship?" But he didn't say ship. And I turned, I said, "Hey, coach." And I said, "Yeah, you know," I said, "look at all this stuff." And we started talking, and I asked him about his son. Because I know last year, you know, the person, I know that Bill O'Brien is a pretty good dude.
Yes.
But in the season, like Van Gundy was, I think he can be tough to deal with.
I think it's different than that. Yeah, he actually is behind the scenes and charitable work and family man all of those things.
I talked to somebody from Buffalo Floor Covers. They're like, yeah, he would come out, even though his son was in a hospital for much of last year in critical condition. Bill O'Brien would leave after practice, immediately go and be at the hospital all night long. Like, Bill O'Brien was working on about 4 hours of sleep a day, worrying about his son's overall health if he was going to make it. And he's trying to run a football team. And I mean, that's stuff that I found out about, and I kept it a little quiet. I asked him about it, and he said, you know, they seem to be doing pretty well with the son. Even when that was going on, his other son was playing baseball. He would make it out to baseball practice just to throw pitches, to like throw kind of batting practice to kids on the team. And the coach said, or one of the guys who's a dad of a kid said, man, he said this was his therapy, being out here doing this, because he looked like hell, but he wouldn't trade it for the world, because he wanted to be out there with his other son, and that was just something he really enjoyed doing, even though he looked beat to hell. And he said, and the guy told me, he goes, you know, he's one of those guys you really, really want to like. He said, you really do want to like him once you meet him and you get to see him. I think the problem is, from a personality standpoint, there's never going to be a time he doesn't rub people the wrong way. And there are times he's fine in press conferences and he's jovial and happy. But if something pisses him off on the field, he's going to bring it into the conduit, which is the media, and you're going to be disseminated. And sometimes media can be sensitive.
It's more than that, though.
It is more than that,
because
he doesn't like being challenged on mistakes.
No, he does not want to be challenged. Yeah, he does not want to hear his mistakes.
That's the big problem.
And that is a huge problem, in that he'll be the first one to talk about a player, or not talk about it, but tell a player and correct a player and make sure that everybody's on the same page. And yet when it's him that's making mistakes, he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't, especially from us, especially from the media. He doesn't want to answer those questions. Of course, he didn't get any of those questions yesterday, because everybody wussed out and didn't ask him about watching that drive before the half and saying, well, maybe a timeout would have helped. And you wouldn't have had to kick a field goal. You'd have had a chance to score a touchdown if you'd had more time. Now, we don't have time to get to the SEC. We'll get to the SEC on the other side. 713-780-3776, if there's anything that you would like to talk about here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, and you know what? When it's all said and done, I don't think Bill O'Brien's a bad football coach. But if you don't – it's the same thing with Gary Kubiak. It's the same thing with Rick Smith. If you don't perform at a certain level over a certain amount of time, if you can't reach beyond, there comes a time where you have to start saying, okay, this isn't good enough. You can always reach back and say, but he's done more with this talent. Yeah, I agree with all that stuff. But at some point, it can't be about the waves. It's got to be about getting the ship into harbor. And do you see growth towards a goal? And I don't think you can trade your way into growth, into that goal. I really don't think you can have all the trades in the world. I don't think you're going to trade your way into a Super Bowl. I just don't. That's the problem. If you could, I would load up on it at MyBookie. I can promise you that.
MyBookie.ag.
If I didn't work for the NFL.
MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. It's where you play, you win, they pay. They'll pay you faster. They will pay you everything. It won't be a hassle getting your money out. How about that they will match your first $1,000 that you put in there? They'll match it. In other words, you got twice that amount to play with, $2,000 to play with instead of just $1,000. Now you can put in $100 and they'll match that as well, or $200, whatever you want to put in. But here's the thing is, it's a great site, live in-game betting. Dell did it the other night. He's watching, holy crap, who got hurt? Somebody got hurt.
Trevor Siemian.
Oh, yeah. Trevor Siemian gets hurt. Oh, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to bet on the Browns.
Fire the under on the Jets, 13.5.
That's right. Under. Under Jets, 17.5. Winner. Ding, 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 ding. 7-2. Dell is rolling in. It doesn't have to work anymore. And you can be Dell, too. All you have to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's 7:46 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. So the SEC now. The SEC is top heavy. I don't think there's any question. Mississippi State losing at home to Kansas State. Kansas State's a pretty good football team, though.
Kansas State was smacking the taste out of their mouth. Did you watch that one?
I did.
College football, Dale?
I watched it.
Man, Kansas State was hitting people out there. It was impressive, especially plus 7.5.
They got a running back named Harry Trotter.
Yep.
What was surprising was that they'll put 9 or 10 white guys on offense at one time.
Well, that's
and they
State.
Still beat Mississippi. I was like, they can't win this game. There's no chance they're going to win this game.
Well, don't they have the now ex North Dakota coach there?
Yeah. Is it?
Isn't he the guy?
He's
North Dakota State.
North Dakota State.
Oh, and is that who the head coach is?
I think that's who they hired.
Man, well, I'll tell you what, that guy can coach.
Yeah, and he knows how to make white guys win. I mean,
he did that
forever at North Dakota State. They don't get any whiter. And they went into Iowa and won. North Dakota State wasn't afraid to play anybody.
No, North Dakota State was obviously Carson Wentz came from there. But, yeah, I've every year I write guys up from North Dakota State.
Yeah.
They have guys you have to at least look at. Carson Wentz, obviously, was second pick of the draft. But, Kansas State's pretty good. They are pretty good. But they went and beat Mississippi State there. I think Auburn, we're going to find out about Auburn. Either Auburn or A&M, I think, is – quote unquote for real, but clearly I think there are two teams that you know are monsters in Alabama and Georgia. You know that to be the case. Right off the bat, if you stop there, name one other conference that has two teams that can win a national championship. There are none.
Well,
it's not I don't believe it's Oklahoma and Texas.
I don't Ohio believe, State, Michigan.
It ain't Michigan. No, it doesn't look like Michigan.
No, it ain't Michigan.
So it's not, I mean, and that's every year now that we're seeing
Ohio State, Wisconsin, we see them at the top.
You get judged by who your best team is, not who your fourth best team is. But what Scott does say is
Penn State, no.
But what he does say is true. There is an assumption that it's always super deep and super. Not every year. Not every year. This year, Arkansas stinks. Ole Miss is going to be down. Mississippi State, I think, is not going to be as good as expected. There were some people who thought they would with the quarterback Stevens coming over. You got Vanderbilt, who's not going to be a good team. Kentucky's tough. They're physical. They are who they are.
Their starting quarterback.
Lost their starting quarterback.
No, it goes Alabama, Georgia. And you know what? LSU, you can put them in there.
LSU's
has been pretty
But they're not with Georgia and Alabama.
No. They may be soon, though.
They could be. I would say you got to watch out for.
They haven't been. Now, they won two national championships in the aughts. So.
Well, and Felipe Franks is out, so I don't know if that hurts Florida.
Or helps them.
Trask
looked pretty good.
He wasn't good in that game.
Yeah.
Before he got hurt. Here's, in the middle, let's say, okay, the middlings are, the second tier.
It's Florida, A&M.
A&M, Auburn, LSU.
That's really
formidable.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's really good. But it drops off after that, but then you get
some of the self-fulfilling stuff. If they're playing each other and winning those games, if you don't think the bottom half of the SEC is good, all that is doing is propping up the middling teams. We'll find out about Auburn and A&M this week. I'm not so sure about Auburn. They found a way to beat Oregon.
Bo Nix is not ready yet. I don't think he's ready to win at A&M.
Well, that's this year, though. But year in, year out, you know what you're getting.
for the most part.
You know what you're going to get? You're going to get some at Florida. Now, they may not be the best team every year, but know what you're getting. Florida's, you're getting some unbelievable athletes.
You get great athletes. Florida, as Dell will tell you, is wildly inconsistent, though. You can't trust them to win ever since Urban left. But I'd say Kentucky is one of the better coach teams in the conference.
I would. Oh, guess what? Kentucky's moved into that.
Kentucky has moved into Tier 2. You may not get the consistency offensively, but defensively you're going to get played. I mean, it's going to be a tough out to beat Kentucky. So, I don't want to sit here and turn it into an all-SEC conversation.
But let's look at the other conferences. If you want to know the truth, the Big 12 is Oklahoma. And then everybody, because Texas, stop. You haven't been a legitimate contender for...
Wait a minute. You wouldn't put Texas in the same category right now as A&M and Auburn?
I would put Texas in the same category. If LSU is a second tier, then Texas is certainly second tier. They went to Texas and won.
Oklahoma's tier one. Oklahoma's tier one in the SEC.
Right.
Texas is tier two
in the
SEC.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
No, I'm not putting Oklahoma in Texas is what I'm saying.
No.
And the tier one.
No. Texas would be tier two.
And truth be told, Oklahoma State has been a power for
I think TCU still gets slept on a little bit. Gary Patterson... How are they right now? Have they lost yet?
No, they went into Purdue and I think kicked their ass.
They slapped Purdue.
This is a year we can be quiet, but Gary Patterson's done it longer than anybody.
Well, he's done it longer than anybody, but he's had his lulls as well. Last year was a lull.
It's always off one year off.
Yeah. So that's difficult if you're not going to be a consistent program. Kansas State has been a pretty darn good program for years, but you know they're not. Tier one. They're not even close to tier one. They're going to lose.
They're
their
more
game.
Like Kentucky.
They're very limited.
They're more like Kentucky, where it's between two and three.
But then, how can you put Texas Tech up there? How can you put Baylor up there? How can you put? Iowa State. How can you put?
I would say Iowa State is getting close to that Kentucky territory too.
Yeah.
But I think the point he was making. He's not trying to make
Iowa at
John. You're arguing an argument he's not trying to make because he's not stupid enough to make the argument that Big 12 equal to SEC. That's not what he's saying. He thinks that's a false narrative that they're just loaded from top to bottom. And this year, I think we're going to find out about A&M, Auburn. I'm still not sure on Auburn. A&M, I feel pretty good about, but let's see. I can't push all my chips on A&M just yet. I mean, they got beat up at running back. Kellen Mond needs to be more consistent at quarterback. That was a little bit off-putting in game two for them because he really stunk. And I was expecting a lot more from him. I think that was a really interesting game if Kellen Mond comes to play. I think that A&M Clemson game could have been a lot more interesting.
Well, and you can throw the Pac-12 out because, Lord.
Pac-12 is
they're the most inconsistent, and you can't count on them to do anything. The ACC is so top-heavy with Clemson and then nobody else.
It's only them. Pac-12 does have the most teams in the top 25 right now.
Yeah.
With six.
Do they really?
With six.
Okay.
Oh, John. Ooh.
Talk to me at the end of the year.
You see what he
just
said?
Well, they're going to play each other. The thing is with the SEC is when they play each other and beat each other, the teams that lose are given far more credit for losing those games than teams in other conferences when they play each other. Like if the Pac-12 is going to play each other, I doubt there's going to be six teams at the end because they're going to play each other. When that happens in the SEC, it's like, well, they played another SEC team. They still got to be one of the best top 25 teams in the country. That is what I think
How'd the preseason go for the Pac-12?
Well, I guess it went better than expected if six of them are in the top 25 right now.
Well, I don't know how because your number one team, Oregon, loses to a middling team in the SEC.
Well, but didn't you have Arizona State going on the road and beating Michigan State, who's a middling top 25 team?
That was an impressive win.
Yeah. Well, playing defense. You know, no, I'm going to tell you, Herm's done a great job. But they're, at best, I mean, there is no top-tier program, a tier-one program coming out of the Pac-12.
I think the bigger issue of just excluding the Pac-12 is the SEC gets far more credit for losing to their own conference than other conferences do. Like if I think Utah and USC play each other this week, if Utah loses to USC, who just coming off a close loss to BYU, Utah's going to plummet. That doesn't happen in the SEC when you lose to an okay team in your conference. They don't plummet. I think that's the bigger issue as far as perception is concerned.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. When we come back, Mike, we'll get you in talking about the Texans here at the top of the hour right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, right now, I've got to talk about the golf tournament coming up in just over 2 weeks now here, or is it next week? It's next week right here. It's next Friday. It's next Friday. We're going to be in Galveston with the Crew de Rue. We are going to be – it's going to be a party now. It's going to be a party now. I'm telling you right now, if you're looking for a great golf tournament, we got one for you. It is the Dirty Birdie Island Golf Tournament. It is going to be so much fun. Elmina – Shriners are going to be benefiting from it, and so is the Ronald McDonald House in Galveston. Dirty Birdie dot the letters E and Z EZ event.com. Dirty Birdie dot EZ event.com. There's a lot of golf tournaments out there. This one's fun. And you got a chance to win a car, top-of-the-line driver, free trip to play Pebble Beach. You can take a picture with the queen and some king cake. You got a lot of Rockets, former Rockets from the championship years that are going to be there. It's beautiful Moody Gardens golf course. And, you know, hopefully they withstood last night and they're going to be just fine. But it's over a week away. Okay, so it's going to be great. It's 9 days from now, next Friday. It's a great time to spend the weekend down in Galveston. Get, you know, help generate a little income for those people down there that got hit last night. So let's go. Let's play. It's September 27th at Moody Gardens Golf Course. You can sponsor if you like, or you can just play. DirtyBirdie.EZEvent.com.
ESPN.
97.5.